Welcome to this episode of the Super Yacht Laundry podcast. I want to say Happy New Year to everybody because this is my first recording of 2026. And I've got a special guest. She's putting up with my, you know, slightly, I'm not as bad as I was, but I am still a little bit sick. I managed to catch the bug going round. But Amelia from Crew Pass, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and I don't mind that you're sick at all.
I'm not as bad as I was. You know, I was thinking at one point, like last week, I'm like, I'm going to have to. I had no voice. I lost my voice completely. So now it's back, but it's a little bit husky, so a little bit sexy. Not that there's any men listening to my podcast. So sorry, lady. But yeah, I've got a little bit of a husk going on at the moment. But obviously, known you for a while. Know you're a very active, got a lot of things going on, but obviously mainly know you through Crew Pass. So wanted you to get on because I want to talk about some stuff that's going on with women. And also Crew Pass and the whole security check has been a bit of a hot topic last year, you know, for a number of reasons. But we need to start at the beginning. So before Amelia ended up on a super yacht, what were you doing?
Before super yachting, I was quite young. So I started the industry when I was 21. After doing a degree in psychology counselling, which I think has massively helped me.
100% that'll help you on board straight out of the gate. You'll be like, what have I done? Is this a psych ward or am I actually on a yacht?
It's amazing for case studies. So did my degree. I met a boy when I was doing my degree and he was doing his cadetship at UKSA.
Nice.
So I obviously followed love into the yachting industry, which I think is what loads of people do. And yeah, amazing. I'm really pleased that happened. I felt like it was very meant to be that I was in the industry and I was in it for 9 years.
So he was lovely. It was living the dream. Like, did you try and get a couple's job straight away? Was it all?
No.
Were you in Antigua straight out of the way, drinking on Pigeon Beach?
I think we tried long distance for about 2 years, and we were both on a 5-1 contract, which I still can't believe we managed to do. Yeah. So we saw each other twice a year. We never attempted to even get a couple's job because we were both so green and so young. And then nothing massively bad happened. We just both grew into different people because we were so young and kind of just stepped away from each other.
There's big drought periods as well. Not being fun or anything. You're 21 and you're not, you know, twice a year. That's not enough.
Quite young, both in different worldwide locations. But yeah, obviously ended things with him, but it was a really great time working on yachts. I was on 5 different boats, all of different sizes. I got to head of housekeeping within, I think, 3.5-4 years, and then stuck in that role right up until the end with a short stint as interior manager, which I absolutely hated. I'm a housekeeper through and through, and don't love service.
When did you realise that? When were you like, I actually don't like people? Because I was like, all I wanted was service. I found like, the housekeeping side, you know, we all have to do it. But I preferred, you know, the interacting with the guests and stuff. When was it that you were like, I don't want to do this?
I think it was quite early on. My first job was as a service steward on a charter yacht, so I was really lucky to have gotten that. Did 3 months there. It was just a seasonal position. Thought it was okay, but then went for 2.5 years as a housekeeper. Loved it. Thought I wanted to go back into service, so then did a year as a service steward. Hated it.
Really?
Went down in size to a 55 meter, which is what I think you need to do if you want to step up. Got a second stew relief chief position and then stepped back onto the big boys as head of housekeeping. And I just really loved it. I loved the routine. I love that everything's the same. I love the lack of like contact with guests. It was so great. And when I first got that position, I had a lot of stews who were like really wanted to be in service, and the ones that were in my team didn't want to be there. So I created this Instagram account called Bougie Blankets Fabulous Folds. And I made the girls create different blankets every day, and we made a bit of like a social media platform around it. And we created turn down notes and gifts and themes and fun stuff and housekeeping to the point
Wow.
where everyone at the end of like a few trips wanted to be in housekeeping over service because we had so much fun. So
It must be nice not having, I suppose the guest side of things does put a bit of pressure. You can't, once you know the routine, you've got it down for, housekeeping, you have got, maybe you have got a bit of space to just enjoy it. It's not punishment necessarily, like you can, you get more time to yourself.
yeah, and also I quite like that housekeeping is go, go, go. Like a cabin gets called, and you as a team go there together and you do it quickly. And you're all together and you're all laughing and you're all making jokes. Whereas in service, it's very rigid. You must do things a certain way, everyone is watching you. It can be quite singular. Even though you are part of a team, and it also can be quite slow. Like when I was interior manager, I used to have to stand by a table just in case they needed something for the entire meal service, and I couldn't get it for them. I had to radio it. So I'd stand there and be like, Mr. Blah Blah wants another water. And I'd just stand there the whole time. I found it so boring, and my brain just started internally rotting.
It's
So.
true though. You can. There's only so much fun you can have in the pantry because you've got to be quiet. It's hanging out in the pantry, like waiting to see what you needed or if you're needed. Whereas, yeah, I've never really thought about it like that.
Loved housekeeping. It was the best. Ended on a really cool world explorer for 2.5, nearly 3 years as head of house. Loved it.
So working with a team of girls. Because obviously you would have gone to uni and obviously friends and stuff like that, but it sounds like you got really into having like a really good bunch of girls to work
Yeah, definitely. So on my last boat, I had a team of shared 16 between me and the lead service. And I think my team was 9. They were all great. I mean, you have to learn to adapt pretty quickly with each personality type and nationality because we were a really multinational boat. You had to be really careful with different cultural bits. But yeah, it was a great team. Obviously, your normal amount of drama and stuff like that rolled in, but apart from that, they're relatively cool.
That's a big bunch of women as well, like going from a 55-meter to teams that big with women. I can't imagine it was all plain sailing.
No. It absolutely wasn't, but most of the time it was okay. I think the main thing was all of the culture mishmash and everyone getting on and people not being offended by things like tone of voice or directive language or like physical touch in any way. Like some cultures find that really offensive, some are fine with it. And just everyone knowing where their boundaries are for themselves and also for other people.
It's something you end up, it's nice to have boats that think about those things, just don't assume that everybody gets on and everybody's the same, or make them try to be the same when they're not. So obviously time on board, give me a highlight. When was your like that pinch me moment? You were on board and what, where were you? Were you plumping a certain cushion going, that's
Going,
not
this is the best cushion I've ever touched.
beautiful silk from somewhere.
Was 1,000% that. I would say where the world shut down due to COVID and I was stuck in South America and Central America, as much as it was a bit rubbish at the time and we couldn't go home and we were having the COVID test like once a week, which was ridiculous, we got isolated in Alaska for a while, and that was really cool. There was no tourists there. It was we were going fish on fishing trips. We were doing big hikes. I'm quite outdoorsy, so I love that sort of stuff. Seeing all the bears, all the whales. I was working with a really nice team at that point, one of my favorite teams that I've had, and it was really that was probably a highlight for me. Being in that situation when I knew that back in the UK people were, trapped at home and having to go out in small groups and clapping for the NHS every Thursday and doing Zoom quizzes like that.
Lining up outside Sainsbury's a meter apart outside with a mask on. Bonkers stuff. But I mean, Alaska was, it must have been breathtaking.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. The people are really friendly, and just the nature there is incredible. So, loved it.
Polar bears are a bit scary.
There were no polar bears there.
No. Well, there are bears there, though, aren't there?
Brown and black, I think.
Like either or, I'm not like no, scary, scary bears.
You had a little bell that you jingle, though. It's quite a vibe. You jingle your
What
bell.
a jingle
Polar
bell!
bears away.
I
Bell.
didn't know
You have
that.
to, if you see them, you shout, "Go away,
Oh,
bears, go away," and you jingle your thing and they go away. It's
it's
fine.
not like dinner time. Come,
I'm really tasty. Just stop.
yum, yum.
Dinner.
Wow, that would have been quite amazing. When obviously there are highs and lows on board, what would you say is a low that you struggled with during your time?
I would say just like the low for me is it is more of a feeling than like one singular thing that I could point out, and I think that feeling is one of like disrespect or non-protection in certain situations, as you know, which we've spoken about before. The yachting industry can be a really dangerous place to be, particularly for a young girl, and I've felt many times throughout my career extremely unprotected in the situations that I was put in, that my colleagues were put in, and I felt unsafe in quite a few quite hectic instances, which is hard to know how much you can talk about given the NDAs that we sign and all of those bits. But like I could specifically name up to 10 like quite hectic situations that involve either violence on myself or another crew member, sexual assault on myself or another crew member, shouting, aggression, violence, like loud swearing, intimidation, manipulation, gaslighting, and all of these things. And I would say that's the thing that really stripped the yachting industry away from me and made me want to leave. Like, I love my job. I thought it was epic. Love being head of house, love managing a team, love the high standards and the pressure and all of those bits. And if it wasn't for the part of me that felt, I don't feel 100% safe here, or I don't feel like I've been respected, or I don't feel like my team are safe, that makes me not want to be there.
I think not having your, not feeling safe yourself is one thing, but I, not being able to protect your team, I think hits even harder. Especially when you're in, head of house or, that kind of position. How do you, you're responsible for them,
Yeah, I mean that was the
Yeah.
worst thing, and I like during interviews or when I was recruiting, when I was working on specific yachts that I knew there was potentially an issue, I would specifically hire slightly older girls, even if I was told to, get whatever, I would always make sure that they had a decent head on their shoulders, that they had lived experience of knowing what their boundaries are. And that they had that ability to say no or be able to kind of fight for themselves, so that if they were in a situation where I couldn't protect them or I wasn't around, that I knew that they in themselves were strong enough to say no, or to bring it up with me. Because some people they're worried about being fired or being completely disregarded, so they don't report things. But I would always make sure to hire girls that knew that that was fine, and I would consistently have chats with them about, if this happens, you come to me. If this happens, you come to me, and I will take it from there.
It's one of that's like that's genuine management though. That's a genuine team. That's what that role is. That is for. Is to protect and guide. And one of those things. I don't have any. If the industry was, if there are a few things change, I would say it's open to any girl. But if you get a girl that's quite young, quite naive, not really had a lot of life experience. Like in any, not it's, this is not just on board, but in life in general, they're vulnerable. They might not even realize how vulnerable they are because it's not been tested. They haven't been tested. But life, obviously, the more years you're around, you should be getting better at it because it will happen more frequently. Unfortunately, women getting tested, it doesn't seem to stop. In this world, especially. You would have thought by now it would have been. There is definitely a special vulnerability on board.
Yeah.
Do you think head of departments, all of them take it seriously or not? Or is it like, I can name probably two people that I've worked for, and I'm like, you couldn't care less what happened.
It's hard to know because the ones that I recently worked with 100% have been amazing, but ones that have been above me in the past have absolutely not been. And if anything, enable behaviour and make situations much worse. And I didn't feel safe going to them when I was younger. However, now I'm at this stage, a lot of my mates that are still in the yachting industry are now heads of department. So, and I know what kind of person they are. So I feel amazing for their team that work under them, but I do not believe it to be the case for everyone. I think people jump into leadership far too early. And aren't trained enough to be able to manage people and to be able to deal with certain situations appropriately.
I also think that not everybody's designed for leadership. You think about like the progression on board. There is no other position, so you have to go for leadership if you want progression. And not everybody is good at man management. They
Yeah.
really aren't. Like there are some people that just shouldn't. It's not in their DNA, which does on land doesn't make any difference. You just go for a slightly different position. But obviously, you're limited on what's available on board. Every job leads to a management position if you want progression. And I worked for a couple, and I'm just like, you should just, it's not your thing. It doesn't make any. It's not a downer on you, but it's just really hard to work for people like that,
No, for sure. For
and
sure.
potentially dangerous.
Definitely. I
So,
mean, it's a weird industry to work in, and you've got to have the right people in the right seats. Otherwise, you can really get yourself into some dangerous, sticky spots.
but from a female perspective, what are our options? There is no other option. It's second, you go from junior, senior, head of department, maybe second stew, chief stew. That's it. That's the pathway. And you kind of, because we can't be in it for very long, you've got to go hard and fast. Get up as high as you can to kind of sit in that wage bracket for as long as you can before you have to leave. So it's kind of, I do think I agree with you though, more training should be mandatory. Any head of department should be doing a ton of courses on man management, but it's not expected,
No.
not required. So when was the turning point for you going, actually, I don't know whether I want to be out here. I want to settle down, get a cat.
Get 3 cats.
Three
Just a couple.
cats.
I I don't think NDA reasons I can say too much, but I had a very bad trip on a boat, and it really kind of gave me yachting the ick for me a little bit. And then I just, from that experience, I thought back to my whole career and I just thought, you know what, this isn't for me. Like, I can't continue to work in an environment where no matter how many times you report things or say something is wrong or try to do your best to protect someone, the owner is always number one priority. And I don't think that's 100% right. So there was that. Plus, I was turning 30, and I, as you said, I wanted to settle down and buy some cats. So I was like, right, 1 year left. Here I go. Tried to save as much as possible. Got a house on the mortgage from the earnings I was making, which was a smart move because I wouldn't be able to afford it now. And then came out and immediately bought myself a cat because I was like, I need to. We weren't even going to talk about
Okay,
it.
never go back if I've got a cat.
Exactly. So that this cat was like my little anchor, and I was like, I know I will 100% not go back if I've got a cat, and I know that I find that industry a bit toxic, and I know that I'm over it. Like, I don't have the patience to put up with anything anymore. Like, I was completely done with all of the like stuff that comes with yachting, like all the negative stuff. So yeah, did that, came out, started. What was I doing? I was freelance working for Gemma, the Yacht Stew at the Yacht Stew Academy,
Fabulous,
who I
Gemma.
love very much, and I'm still working for her.
Why
I
wouldn't
built
you?
a advanced housekeeping course for her using all of my blanket knowledge, trying to
Oh.
get people excited about housekeeping, which I'm very passionate about.
Should get her excited about housekeeping. It's just the only depressing thing about housekeeping is when you go home. Like, my house is never going to be that organized or that clean.
They scratch everything. Everything I own is ruined.
Your own fault.
Was doing that. I did a coaching diploma. I set up my own company called Shoreside Coaching, where I was just going to coach and mentor people coming out of the industry, which is going okay. But I think I'm going to turn it into just a blog now. Because yeah, I feel like people don't need it so much, but like reading the resources. I've got a lot of blogs from other people that have come out of the industry on there, and it's really interesting to see like their pathway and where they're at now. So that's what I've done with that. And then at the start of last year, in 2025, I started working with Crew Pass, which is what I'm currently working with now, which has been really great. So it's working with Conrad, the founder, who, if anyone knows him, they know him from Below Deck, which I tease him about consistently.
Conrad, who the hell would know Conrad? Who would
Poor
know? What does he
guy. Poor guy.
So why did you fancy working for Crew Pass? Before we Crew Pass, but what?
Well, I started off just doing copywriting for him. So I was doing all their blogs and stuff on safety. I think he just wanted like a female's perspective on experiences at sea. And I was in Bournemouth and he's in Bournemouth. So I started off doing that with him, and then he just started slowly edging me into a full-time role, and I have no idea how
Can you just do this? Can you just do that? No.
I did it. But I'm very grateful for it because, you know, he's now basically given me an entire, well, he has given me a full-time role, which is great, which includes all the copywriting stuff that I like, includes the marketing stuff that I like, but also it has that protective nature that kind of like links back to what I was saying about feeling that feeling of unprotection on board, and how I didn't like not feeling 100% safe. So now, therefore, I'm working with a company that helps people feel just slightly more safe. So that really massively aligns with what I believe in and what my values are. So that is fabulous.
Yeah. It's crew passes, like, so anybody who's listening to this that is not aware of crew pass, do you want to go on then? Give us the what going your sales thing. What does crew pass do,
So,
Amelia?
Crew Pass is known for doing criminal history background checks and verifying profiles for crew members. They started off initially by doing this and kind of marketing basing towards individuals. So, like, you would have it as your SECW, and then you'd go out and you'd get your background checks just to like how you would if you were wanting to get a teaching role or something.
Improve your chances of getting the job.
He very quickly realized that that was the wrong way to market it, through the mad amount of abuse that he did get at one point.
It is quite insane, the amount of abuse and confusion with it
And
all as well. It's just like people like just not understanding at all.
I know, but it's okay. It's okay. We're slowly beginning to understand. So we then, when I joined, we changed it to going towards more like management companies, recruitment companies, fleets, and all those sorts of people. So we started at the start of last year, just obviously doing background checks as normal. We've now, well, Conrad has now developed it into more of a certificate compliance package. So not only do you get your criminal history, you get your ID checked, you get your social media checked, you get all of your certificates authenticated, so you can't have like that fraudulent document problem, which I have seen pop up a few times this year, which is really great. And it basically takes away the need for a compliance officer within a management company because you've got a system that just does all of that for you. It files it away, it scans it, it records all the information, it tells you the pathway of verification, how we got to that conclusion. And then you click download and it comes in this sexy form. Like,
That.
I'm sure you've recruited before and you get all these certificates through and they're like upside down, they're labeled version 111.16 of this document, they're labeled wrong. It's really ugly, and very annoying to look at, and you have to spend time going through, renaming, putting in a folder, doing all that stuff. You click download with us, which is one of our probably most boring, but I find most exciting features. You click one button and it downloads in a folder your name of document, your name of document, your name, and like
It's
put them all the right way around, and it's just nicer. I
just you're so housekeeping. It's just
know.
so organized. Look at it. It's just so beautiful and it's straight and it's just all
It's
categorized and it's just look at that.
a lovely vibe. So that's what we lean for now. We're still doing background checks and all of those bits, but we are basing ourselves as compliance checkers. So what this means for individual crew members is that if they are going onto a crew pass approved boat, they know that the people that they're working with have had a criminal history checked, have had their certificates checked, they are who they say they are. Whereas for me, for example, I've worked on boats before with people with criminal records who have been arrested whilst I was on board and then let back on board, who have loads of weird bits going on. You know that one, like, I do a lot of writing on our blog for it, but I name these people a dodgy Dave. It's in no way in relation to any Dave that I know, but just for clarification. But like, you know that like dodgy Dave, like the guy that kind of like lingers and like.
It has a load of chat and a load of stories, and it's one of those people who like sits in the crew mess and they're spouting off a whole load of stuff, and then you listen to him a few times, you're like, your story, that doesn't well that time, because I'm one of those annoying people. Like if somebody's telling me a story, I'm listening, and then I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't marry up to what you were saying. How the hell could you be there and there in the same place? And you're like, you're full of it.
They're quite funky people, and I think the type of person that goes on yachts, not all, but a lot of them, are people who are escaping something. You're escaping a divorce, a bad childhood, a relationship, something to go and put yourself in the middle of nowhere with a group of random people. Yeah, the money's good. Yeah, it's cool to travel and stuff. But realistically, your head's down a toilet for 300 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of person that's escaping from something potentially has something going on in their background, in their past, that they don't want to talk about, that they're not going to share. Why aren't we checking everyone that's going on board?
Well, that leads into, you know, obviously I've said these things before. You know, when I heard about Crew Pass and what Conrad was doing, my opinion was that, you know, it's not going to catch the dodgy ones, the ones you want to catch. It will be kids signing up to it because they want any excuse to get ahead and get a job. You know, because obviously, like you said, Conrad, he was doing it for the individual in the beginning. But on reflection, you know, obviously talking about it, and this is, I'm like, where are you supposed to start at this point in time? Because if you want to get technical about it, you know, kids that are signing up to get a job and they're just trying to do it, technically they probably don't need to get a criminal check because they probably haven't been around enough to get into that much trouble.
Yeah.
And also, I'm of the firm belief, obviously, you know, you can, that I don't believe most women need to get it either, because we're not generally, on average, the ones that are breaking the law. And if we do break the law, it's generally something probably to do with drug possession or a driving conviction. It's not serious, you know, assaults or battery or, well, it's obviously not going to be rape. So on the face of it, there's two groups that, you know, perhaps don't need to do it, but that's not how the world works. Unfortunately, all of us have to do it. It's like the situation with the 100 mil crap at the bloody airport, just because of a few, what, five dickheads that decided to take on some kind of chemical concoction to blow up an aeroplane. Now, billions of journeys throughout time have taken longer, and we have to go through the stupid check, and I have to stand there in my socks getting checked at security because of these five, literally just five dickheads that are just annoying. So with Crew Pass, like you said, obviously with just the criminal side of things, we've got to start somewhere. It's a big net, you know, getting these checks. You know, you have to have done something pretty bad, and it has to be kind of pretty recent or in a jurisdiction where you can catch them. But at least it's something. It's a bit different.
This is the thing. I think it's more of like a peace of mind for the rest of the crew. Like, at least someone is trying, or at least someone's got my back, or at least this is something that my captain or my management company are thinking of, because that then sets a precedent for how they behave if something happened. Whereas if you don't, you're not checking people. Like, why is that? It's, I can't see the reason why you wouldn't.
Even with the qualifications, I know one engineer that I work with, there's no way he had the qualifications he said he had. I do not believe in a million years that he had the qualifications, because some of the stuff he had to fix and stuff like that, he just couldn't do it. I'm like, how can you be whatever it is, like a senior engineer, if you can't fix that? I don't understand. And then you're getting big bucks, you know, you're getting decent money, but no one's actually checked whether those qualifications are actually real. So if they're willing to lie about their qualifications, what else are they willing to lie about? You know, and that's where you get into this, you know, are they a pathological liar? Have they stolen? Have they, you know, attacked people? At least they're starting to ask the kind of right, you know, what kind of person are you?
Exactly. Because you can, like, obviously, as the whole industry has agreed, background checking is sort of the first step, but it's not the whole picture of like how to vet properly. There's loads of different other things that you could do within like reference checking, making sure you're doing thorough interviews. You could also do personality tests. They're free online. You just get them to fill them out. Or any other like psychometric testing. It's so interesting, and you can pull so much information from those things. But yeah, I mean, Crew Pass helps solve background checks and any fraudulent docs, and then you do all your other research, and then you've got a boat full of like super safe, solid people, and you're setting a precedent already that that's something you're interested in.
Well, no, I mean, you're setting the standard for the quality of individual that you want to work with. You know, like I said, it goes back to just very simple things. If you're willing to lie about that, whatever that you've got, even I have worked with one. He was a deckie at the time. The guy was colorblind, and he was still managing to get his ENG1 signed off. I'm like, how the Isn't it important for you to be able to see colours at sea if you're on a bridge? Like, kind of important.
One, not that he was colorblind.
Need to go to this one particular person to get his ENG1.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy. And you can learn the book off by heart as well. You can
Yeah.
learn the sequence numbers.
But don't get me wrong, like the thing is with the beauty of being at sea is those opportunities for people that, life on land is just not working. And you can go and get away and reinvent yourself and be, better and stuff like that. But I think, unfortunately, for the yachty side of things, I just don't think it's possible. It's, if you are dealing with yachts that are getting bigger and bigger and the higher net worth individuals, they aren't yachts anymore in the sense, I've said this many times, they're floating cruise ships. They are enormous things. You've talked about working in a massive team of ladies. It's just not possible to run something or take that many risks on the individuals that you're hiring, without catastrophic problems.
Don't you think it's funny that if you were an owner of a yacht, you'd just assume that these checks were being done right?
Well, that's the biggest enigma in this industry beyond, that they, it's like, so I went to the forum last year. And they had a fantastic lady that did a talk on the end of the first day, and she was sort of like she was from the luxury industry, and she was like, if you were selling a Rolex, and I just got a job, in the Rolex shop, there is no way on earth they would let me go anywhere near a customer until I'd done X, Y, and Z, because obviously they're high net worth people. You get one shot of selling this and everything else. But I can go from working in my local pub to go and working on a mega yacht and then serving somebody who's a billionaire with no silver service experience. These situations do happen. You do end up, ending up right in front. Even if it's a junior stew situation, you could be serving a drink to somebody who's off the chart net worth. So these are the people that want 7-star service, but apparently we're not going to invest in 7-star crew.
Well, I know Connie's spoken about it a lot, but his experience was that he, in his first few weeks of working on a boat, was asked to take the children off to the park ashore. He got an attendant and he took them off, and he didn't have kids at the time. Obviously, he's got two girls now, but that was something that he found quite bizarre. And then for me, like, I think in my first few weeks, I was asked to clean the owner's jewelry box, and it was like all of these diamonds upon diamonds, and I was just there with a toothbrush and toothpick, like la 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 la. Like, obviously, I wasn't going to do anything, but I could have just taken that whole thing.
Yeah,
And then what would they have done? Where would they have found me?
it's one of the, isn't it? Like, so obviously you've got work on board, you've got nannies on board, obviously, kids are on the nannies would have all had their checks. And you've got, deck crew getting kids in and out of the water and all sorts of things. Like, just stuff on land that you, I think the thing with crew pass, what you guys have tried to do on land, it's just part of it. If you want to work in a bank, if you want to work in, the council, if you want to work on in any health department, social services, all of these things are standard. A school, they're all mandatory. Nobody even thinks about it. It's just part of that work environment. It blows my mind how far behind the yachty world, I suppose, it is when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because like I said, it's only going to catch the most stupid and prolific bad individuals. The clever ones, will still be able to get around it, but at least it's a start. I mean, what is What are the worst, what's shocked you? What's ever come up in a check that you can talk about? You know, the level of conviction that shocked you.
I would say at the moment we're getting about one conviction every 10 days will come through. So that I think that's quite high considering the people that we're checking, because they're all new boats coming on that we're onboarding. It's not the main checks coming through, so I think that's quite a high percentage. But the worst social media, we do like an enhanced internet scrape where it takes any digital footprint and scrapes off the internet. It's not the same as our social media one. It's way more enhanced than that. We had someone who criminal history came back fine, all clear. ID fine, clear. Certificates all fine. We did their enhanced social media, and they'd commented under like quite because if you write like a swear word in a comment on someone's profile who isn't private, that will flag as like a rude word or whatever. So he'd commented under all these women's pictures like slag, slut, fucking bitch, like all of these crazy. And I was reading through it like, oh my God, this is wild. And he was part of some like creepy Facebook groups. And yeah, apart from that, you would think he was a normal guy, but then all of this obscene language was written under all these random, what appears to be random or celebrities or whatever they are, women's photographs. So that's quite wild, and I think that's quite disturbing behaviour that if I was the higher up, and they didn't proceed with the hire, they were like, absolutely not.
That makes it more important.
I'd
That's
like to know
the social media stuff
someone I'm
would be
hiring.
more important than
Yeah.
the actual like certificates or anything else. Like that's crazy
But he
behavior.
was fine in every other way, but you wouldn't have known unless you'd run this specific
Get
check.
you get him on board, he's gonna be an absolute knobhead.
Yeah. And
For
he'll get
sure.
on another boat that doesn't do background checks. And he'll be having a lovely time, but internally he's got all these quite deep, dark thoughts or quite unhealthy. I don't know what was wrong with him, but it was quite hectic, the things that he was writing on social media platforms. Very
Just
bizarre.
women.
Really attacking of women, and the Facebook groups he was part of were very also women negative. Can't remember exactly what they were, but that was probably the most staggering for me, seeing that and being like, oh God, and the worry of knowing like if we hadn't found that,
He would be on board.
he'd be on board. But the thing is, if any other boat that then employs him even just puts his name into crew pass, we'll be able to flag that now. So if everyone got on the system, there would be no sneaky sneaky.
Well, I mean, it, like you said, that obviously then that's like the next generation of them, having to go into a private group to say horrible shit rather than just being out in public. Some people are like, what is wrong with people? But then, to be fair, women can be just as bad and just as vile, like to other women and to men. It's that weird thing of going online and you just seem to think that you can say and do whatever you want. And I don't get those people, I really don't. I mean, unless you're going to say it to their faces in life. I mean, the only thing with that case in particular you were talking about, I wouldn't want him to start talking to a woman like that to her face. Do you know what I mean? Because that's got to come out after a few beers, like being that not, yeah.
The thing that normally comes up on our social media reports is it's normally chefs, and they get flagged for pictures of knives because chefs love knives.
They do love me. That's a bit
But
unfair.
it's fine, and then you send it off to the hirer, and they're like, oh cool, like this isn't a problem because this is normal for a chef to be quite happy about their new set of knives, and they've put them on Instagram or whatever. But
Knives are an offensive weapon.
knives get flagged, any swear word gets flagged. If you're smoking in a picture, that gets flagged. Alcohol in a picture will be flagged. And
Wow.
you see every single picture that's been flagged.
I would never get a job again. The amount of pictures of me with a glass in my hand, like that's it, I'm screwed. Like, There are no pictures with her not having a glass in her hand. No, that would be quite disturbing. But that's the way, I suppose that's where the world is going, I guess. That's really interesting. What do you, with Crew Pass and obviously its developments and stuff like that, does it seem like the industry is taking, this is something that we're going to go, it's a selling point to a lot of the management companies, like, we do enhanced checks so you don't have to, family office.
That was such a good tagline. May I use that?
Well, I could do it. I could go and work for old comrades. Do you want me to pitch it?
Oh, that'd be cute. To be honest, yeah, particularly since we've implemented the certificate compliance, which Conrad will go into more detail over the next few weeks via LinkedIn and I'm sure on the podcast with you as well. But it's a really cool, very nerdy, some would say potentially boring for people that aren't interested in it, bit of software that we've built that I think is hugely beneficial within the industry. And since we launched that in, I would say, October, we've had a massive uptake, like absolutely massive. And I think also since obviously Paige Bell earlier last year, that after that there was a massive uptake as well, which is a sad way to get checks through something like that happening.
Well, the Paige situation is just, it's obviously, it's horrific. But, obviously we've talked about it extensively. The only reason we're talking about Paige is because she's dead. If she'd just been raped, there's no way the industry would have been talking about it. There's no way. Like, if she was alive, it wouldn't get anything. So the only, it's not an upside, but the only reason that there is, obviously, the outrage that, well, how has this happened? Well, anybody who's worked in the industry, we now clearly can, we can tell you why it's happened or how it's ended up happening and where the safeguarding issues have always been. But maybe her legacy is the fact that, unfortunately, because she has died, it has kind of forced a hand or two, to say, yeah, we are taking it seriously and we are doing more and we are doing Crew Pass or whatever, we are investing more into seeing who we're putting in these environments.
Yeah.
It's... It is an awful situation. Could it have been avoided? That's one of the, hindsight is an amazing thing, potentially. But like you said, if he had all the checks done, so certificates all clear, no criminal convictions, all clear, the only thing you could potentially catch him on would be social media if he's outwardly outspoken about it. So at least that's something else, that's something else to add to the arsenal that might stop people that are capable of something so horrific even getting foot on board. I do think the place, unfortunately, as amazing as the industry is, it can be the perfect hiding place for some vile, vile people, because of the lack of communication. I think one of the things connecting the dots is, like you said, he'll be flagged in, you've got his details. If anybody does use you, then he'll get flagged again, because I don't think thoughts like that disappear.
No.
So Crew Pass is on the up. You've got a busy 2026, I imagine. We just like to finish podcasts, like, so obviously the last series I asked a set of questions, I've decided to change my questions slightly.
Okay, fun.
A most annoying thing a cabin mate has ever done. One thing that used to drive you up the wall when you were in close quarters. Or was it you that was annoying?
I don't think it was me. I've been quite lucky with cabin mates. I've generally had really cool ones. I think Some people take a phone call quite late, which is not so much of a vibe. Like I was sharing with a girl that she had a boyfriend at home or something, but he was in the UK and we were in the States, or there was a timeline. So from like 10 p.m. she'd be on the phone having big catch ups, whereas I'm quite an early bird, so I like to be asleep by 10 p.m. Being the loser housekeeper that I am.
You're like in her bunk talking, and you're like laying there going, shut
Yeah.
up.
Well, I would say that's the most annoying. However, I'm very directive, so if that did go on for too long, I would just whack my head down. Can you do that outside? I'm going to sleep. So nothing too bad. I'm pretty good at pinpointing things and letting people know when something has perhaps not made me feel good. So
No gross stories.
no gross stories, no, but I look forward to hearing other people's gross stories.
There's a few gross stories. The funniest thing, it's not funny. It was, I thought it was funny at the time, but it's probably quite hilarious. If you listen to this, you'll know who you are. But me and this chief stew were sharing a cabin. And it was a bit prickly between us. Like, we had completely different life in working styles. We weren't getting on particularly, but we were both trying our best. And we were both in bed and, redoing and everything else. And this one particular day, we were just at each other. Like, we're snapping at each other. Like, we were getting to the end of the time of us working together. And, she would just wind me up all day. Anyway, you go to bed, you don't think anything about it. I was reading in bed. She had her eye mask on. She was on the bottom bunk and she was asleep. Anyway, I roll over and I knock my book off my bunk and it smacks her straight in the face. And then I spent literally, it's quite a decent book as well. And it literally, straight on the middle of the forehead. And I was like, she's going to think I did that on purpose. She's 100%. She was like, "What the hell is going on?" I'm sorry, it just fell off. She was like, "It just fell off." I'm like, "It just fell off. It did just fall off." And then obviously, because we'd had such a, I just had, I was laughing. It doesn't really, it didn't help with was like, I honestly didn't do it on purpose because I hadn't thought of it. But if I had, that would have been a really good thing because she'd annoyed me all day, but I didn't. But I 100% she thought I did it on
I semi believe you.
it honestly. I didn't do it on purpose, but you couldn't, like, if I'd leant over and positioned the book so over her face to like hit her like right on the sweet spot, like right here, because she's got an eye mask on, she can't move.
Like making it worse by saying things like sweet spot.
I couldn't have done it. If I tried to have done it, it wouldn't have gone out so well. It's 100%. Lo and behold, we didn't end up working for much, much longer after
Ah, c'est la vie, you can't win them all.
that. But yeah, cabin mates, you gotta love them. You gotta love them.
Fun.
Thank you very much for coming on my podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have to pass on again. But in the meantime, enjoy your time with your cats.
Please do. It's been a pleasure.
You've enjoyed this episode of the CPR Laundry podcast, we've got a whole bunch of new episodes coming out. So please come and join us again. Until the next time, dear listener, take care. Bye bye.